with me this evening to the second book of Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. This third chapter of the book of Peter, he speaks to his hearers in regard to the last days. There's, I think, a misconception in the minds of many religious people of our day as to the last days. They feel that in these latter days that we live in now, in the last 10 or 15 years, up until the present, is what is referred to in the Bible as the last days. But I think that the apostles understood the last days to begin when they were on earth. And this is what Peter's talking about, the last days. And I think myself, that's my opinion, that the last days had its beginning even during the life of the apostles. One day, as unto the Lord is as a thousand years, we're told. But anyhow, he says here in this third chapter, that in the first verse, he said, "This letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" That is, the 11th verse is to be understood in light of what is said previously, that one day when the Lord comes, it will be as what is commonly referred to, the end of the world. That will be the end of all things, the consummation of all things. It says, "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." That's the end of the world. You remember when you was a child and you thought about things of this nature? Sometimes maybe you heard a Sunday school teacher mention the end of the world's coming. Or maybe someone in school or some mother or father said something about the end of the world's coming. And you thought about that. You had some foolish ideas as to regard what they were talking about. But you did understand that there was an end of all things. And that's right. There's an end of all things. There's going to come a time when when we're going to quit eating. There's going to come a time when we quit laying down and rest. There's going to come a time when we quit getting up of a morning, when we quit going to work, when we quit looking at the clock. There's going to come a time when time ceases to be, when time is dead and buried, and time shall be no more, the end of the world. Everything will be consumed. And that's so. And so he said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Now he said, in light of that, what manner? What kind of people ought ye to be? Ye who Christian people who are already in the grace of God. He said, I write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds. He taught Christian people. What manner of people ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Now these dispensationalists say there's a difference between the day of the Lord and the day of God, and there's a difference between the last days and the latter days and so forth, but I think they're making a play on words really. It says, looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire. Shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The end of the world. I think when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, eternity comes with Him. I think when He splits the skies open and comes back as a king, I think eternity comes with Him. I think that's the end of all things. And I think that'll be the end of all flesh too. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we, according to His promise, only those that are in Christ are looking for Him. People outside of Christ are not looking for the coming of the Son of God. They make fun of Him. The majority of the world makes fun of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. They don't believe He's coming back. They say, well, they say just like they said here that the apostle wrote about. He said, well, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Where is that? We've heard that for years, the end of the world, the coming of the Messiah. We've heard that since the fathers fell asleep. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So, the we are those that are in Christ. They're the ones looking. Said, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Do we look for such things? Be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. If you're not in Him without spot and in peace and blameless, in for a hard time. If you're not in Christ, better get in Christ. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That is, they take the scripture from their setting and they take the text out of the context and make a pretext out of it and use various scriptures in order to prove their own arguments and so forth. They rest. They rest the scriptures from their settings, and it's the end is their own destruction. Yet Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know that these things, ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Remember, I preached to you one time, Lord, keep us from falling. Keep us from falling. All right, the 18th verse is my text right here. This is the verse I want to talk to you for just a few minutes here this evening. I'm not going to keep you long. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, first off, grow in grace. Now, you can't grow in grace unless you're in grace. He's not talking to people who are alienated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He's not talking to those that are yet rebels, that are in their sins. He's talking to those that have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He's talking to those that have been born anew. He's talking to those that are new creatures in Christ Jesus. He's talking to those whose hearts yearn and pant after the Lord Jesus. He's talking to those that look for the coming of the Savior. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have understood who they are, that they're sinners. They're lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They have went their own way. They've gone astray from the God who made them. And they're wandering out in the wilderness of this world, and content in their lost condition, not even knowing that they're lost, trusting in themselves that somehow everything will work out for them, having a vague concept of God, believing in a higher power, a supreme power, and somehow feeling in their hearts there is a God. There is a day of reckoning. There is a day of judgment. But somehow, some way, I don't understand and don't have any feeling in the matter, but I know it'll work out. He's not talking to them kind of people. They've got no hope. They must be brought to see their lostness. If they'll ever be brought by the Spirit of God to see their waywardness. They've went astray. And see that they're lost. And then they'll cry out, Lord, save me, I'm lost. Lord, help me, I'm lost. I'm lost from Thee. Not lost from mother or father, brother or sister, or lost from the society of this world. We're part of it, but we're lost from Thee. Lord, I'm lost. I'm in the midst of this world, and all the tinsel and all the glamour of this world. All the temporary... I'm in it, Lord, but I'm lost. I'm lost from Thee. My heart cries out. Lord, save me, else I perish. They ever brought to that place and brought unto the feet of Him who alone can save them from their sins. Well, they'll be making some progress. They'll be growing. And He's talking to people who's been there, who has, by experience their waywardness. Experience the fact that they're sinners before God and despised Him in their hearts, and would say, we'll not have this man to reign over us, but they've been stripped, they've been broken, they've been brought to the end of themselves. They've experienced this. The work, the scriptures talks about a spirit conviction. They've been brought by the Spirit of God to have a conviction in their hearts that they're helpless and hopeless and lost, but that they're sinners. They've embraced Him who's the cure. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He came to God, but He must have a sacrifice. Remember, I preached to you from the book of Leviticus one time where it says that it must be perfect to be accepted. The sacrifice must be perfect to be accepted. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to God in our behalf, in our place, in our room. He came with a sacrifice. What was the sacrifice? Was it a lamb? Was it a turtle dove? Was it the firstling of the flock? Was it a goat? Was it a ram? Was it an oxen? No, sir. It was Himself. He offered Himself. That's the cure for our condition, is our sacrifice. What sacrifice do you have? See? So, you see what I'm talking about? He says, but grow in grace. You who have been brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, you grow. Grow. You came to Him as babies. Babies. You had to be dealt with the alphabet. We had to talk to you about the A's and the B's and the C's. And He said you couldn't go any farther than your ABCs. You're just babies. When you was a baby, you had to have some toys. Had to have some toys. I took Ben the other day. Folks' house as Catholics. And they had pictures all over the house. Pictures representing the Lord Jesus, crowns of thorns upon His head, and hearts that was bleeding. And they had little statues of various patron saints, and they had little pictures and so forth hanging on the wall. And Ben said them was babies. You see, you want to get them babies. You want to get them toys. Oh, my soul. What do you think of that? People have to have little toys like that. Little toys. Well, your babies. Babies. When you're babies, you got to have A, you got to deal in ABCs. But you can't have any meat. You can't digest it. Babies can't chew meat. You got to give them a condensed. You got to give them meat that's already chewed. Mothers used to chew the meat up for the babies. They chew it up and give it to the babies. Some parts of the country, they still do that. Babies can't take strong meat. But He said, grow. If you don't grow, something matters. Something matters if a baby doesn't grow. You get alarmed and concerned about a baby that doesn't grow. It's a dwarf. It's stunted. It's the runt of the litter. It doesn't grow. So He says for us, you and I, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Grow in grace. Grow in God's love. Grow in the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Have some firmness of your faith in His love. Don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine that comes along, but be anchored firm and deep in the love of God in Christ. Grow in grace. What is grace? Well, I don't know the best definition. But one definition is, it's the unmerited favor of God. Unmerited, that is, we didn't deserve it. It's whatever we get from God. That's grace. We didn't deserve anything. We've gotten everything from Him and we didn't deserve anything. You say, well, I thought I deserved something. No, you didn't deserve anything. You see, you're unworthy of the least of His gifts. No one. God looked down upon the children of men to see if there's any that doeth good, and there was not a single solitary soul upon the face of the earth among the race of Adam that done good. He couldn't find any. They're all gone out of their way. They're all unprofitable. So anything that you and I get this side of hell is what? It's the grace of God. Anything. Say, the Lord's been good to me. I hear people say, the Lord's been good to me. You're mighty right, He's been good to you. He's been good to me. Any movement of God towards us is the grace of God. Grow in this grace and appreciation of it. and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I told you this morning, you want to know anything? You want to learn anything? Come unto Him. Come to the cross. Come to Christ. It's the best thing that any man can do for you is to bring you to Jesus. That's the best possible service that He can render unto you, is to bring you unto the Lord Jesus, that you might see Him, you might know Him, and you might learn of Him. Learn of Him. I don't care if you can quote the whole Bible. That's nothing. I don't care if you read the Bible every day and every day and every day and you know everything that's in the Bible. If you do not come to the cross, it's all there. Now, it's good to read the Bible and know the Bible and be able to quote every verse in the Bible. That's good if your heart's in it. But just do it for self-recognition. There's nothing to it. There's no love of God in it. All this love, this knowledge, it all comes when we see Him, when we're brought to the cross. You say, how come? I don't know. That's just the way God fixed it. That's the way He planned it and purposed it. Before the fall of man, before there was ever one man to fall, that's the way God purposed it. That everything would be in His Son, that His Son might receive all the recognition, all the exaltation, all the honor, and all the glory. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now this is what I want to talk to you about. To Him, that's to Christ, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You know, right now, heaven is full of the unending praises of the Lord Jesus. Right now, while we're gathered here, they that are in heaven are praising Him, the Lord Jesus. They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Heaven is full of unending praises unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read something to you over here in the last book of the Bible. Last book of the Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, in this fourth chapter, it says that the four beasts, eighth verse of the fourth chapter, says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him." Now, I don't know if this is literal or not. I don't know. But I'm certain that it's descriptive and it signifies something. It's picturing something. Four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night. There's no rest for them night and day. What is their labor? What is their activity? These four beasts, six wings about him and full of eyes within, and they rest neither night. Well, what do they do? What do they do up there? John had seen some things. Jesus Christ came to him and revealed some things to him. He said, "Write this in a book, John. This is what it looks like in heaven." What are these fellas doing? "And they rest not day and night." What do? They do this. "Saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." That's what they say. Day and night. Day and night. "And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to Him," to the Lord Jesus, "that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and forever. And the 24 elders fell down before Him," the Lord Jesus, "that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever." And this is what they did. They cast their crowns before the throne and they said this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I'm telling you here this evening that heaven right now is full of unending praise unto Him. Looking at the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, the second verse says, "And I saw a strong angel." I wonder what is meant by that. I thought all angels were strong. I don't know. Something significant about that. "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." A fella told me one time, come to hear me preach here. I'd seen him on the street, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, "Well," I said, "you and I are friends and all." And I said, "Why don't you just come up Sunday and hear me preach? I believe I'll do that." So he came up, he heard me, and after it was over with, the only thing he had to say to me was, says, "Do you have to talk that loud?" "Do you have to?" "Well," I said, "I don't have to. I just kind of get carried away." That bothered him. "Well, if you got something to say, you might get a little excited about it." I sometimes get excited about this. I think this strong angel, I think he is excited. He proclaimed with a loud voice. Brother, you can't proclaim what that strong angel proclaimed. You can't do it whispering. Oh no, it takes a strong voice. Why? This is what he's saying. "Who is worthy?" The Lord Jesus, that's who he's talking about. "Who is worthy to open the books and to loose the seals? And no man in heaven or earth, or neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And he said, "I wept much." John said, "I wept much in this revelation. I wept much. I cried. I cried because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold the Lion," that's the Lord Jesus, "of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb." That's the Lord Jesus, "as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." They're occupied with something. I'm telling you here tonight, heaven is full of the unending praises unto him, the Lord Jesus. And they fell down before the Lamb, before the Lord Jesus, having every one of them harps. Harps. Harps you play at the strings. They had harps. Not mouth harps, not juice harps. Stringed harps. Harps makes music. Soothes King David. One of them harps, and a golden vial full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song in heaven. New song was, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." You redeemed it. You were slain and redeemed us to God. How'd you do it? By your blood. By offering yourself as a sacrifice in our stead and place, satisfying the justice of God, in order that God might be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. "By thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, they come there from all walks of life." There's black ones, there's yellow ones, there's white ones, there's brown ones. "From every tribe, every tongue, every race of people on the top side of God's green earth, they're going to come one day. The Lord has redeemed them." All right, and he's made us, and has made us, made his people unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. "I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, and innumerable multitude of people, as many as the sands of the sea. What were they doing? What were they doing here? What occupied their minds and their hearts? What were they occupied with? I'll tell you. This is in heaven. I said to you, heaven will be full of the unending praises of Him. All right. 12th verse, this is what they're occupied with. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and they worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." I said all that, read all that to say this, that heaven is full of the unending praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now I told you, to Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You see, unnumbered years shall speed on their everlasting course. That is, time shall grow old and time shall die and be buried. But forever and ever unto Him be glory. World without end. Listen, is He not a priest after the order of Melchizedek? He certainly is. To Him be glory forever. Is He not a king forever? Is He not King of kings, Lord of lords? He is. Never shall His praises cease as long as immortal spirits live. There will be no quieting of immortal spirits in praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as the Father's throne endures, forever and forever and forever unto Him shall be glory. The apostle's words here is, to Him be glory now and forever. Now. To Him be glory now and forever. Let us make that our prayer. Listen, now. You see, now are we the sons of God. You know what the Scriptures say? Somewhere over here. It says, beloved, listen, third chapter of the book of 1 John, second verse says, beloved, now. Same word. To Him be glory both now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. When are we? Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now. We're the sons of God now. Now our sins are forgiven. Now let us glorify Him. Let this be our prayer. Lord, help me to glorify You. I'm poor. Lord, help me to glorify You by contentment. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I'm poor. I haven't got any money. I haven't got fine clothes. I haven't got this. I haven't got that. Lord, You know my needs. You know my heart. Lord, help me to glorify You by being content in the condition that I'm in. Lord, I'm poor. Lord, I'm sick. Help me to give honor and glory to Your name by being patient. Lord, I have some talents. Help me to exalt You and give honor and glory to Your name by spending these talents in Your service. Lord, help me to do it. I have time. Lord, help me to redeem it that I may serve You, that I may in some way with my time and through my time exalt You, give You the honor and the glory. For He says to Him, be glory both now, and we know that there's unending praises and glory to God in the heavens, but He says, He's talking to us right now. He says, now you know this end of the world is going to come upon you. You know that. I've told you that. He said, what manner of people ought you to be? Why, He said, you ought to give Him glory. That's one reason why I haven't got much to do with these fellas that just running around talking about that salvation, that you've got some part in salvation. God's got a part and you've got a part. You play your part and cooperate with God. I don't have no use for that. I wouldn't give those fellas the time of day. I'll tell you why. Because their ambition is this. They're dedicated their whole life, and the entirety of their soul is ambitious to one end, is to rob God of His glory. Rob God of His glory in the salvation of a sinner, and saying that well, you got to cooperate with God now. You do your part and God will do His part. You take the first step and God will meet you halfway. You got to do this and you got to do that in order to be a Christian, in order to be saved. Robbing God of His glory. Robbing the Lord Jesus Christ of the sufficiency of His atonement. I'll tell you this, my beloved brethren tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for somebody. I know that. And the somebodies that He died for is going to be saved come hell or high water. I know that. Whether I'm in the somebodies or I'm not in the somebodies, I know that His purpose will not be defeated, and I know that He shall see the travail of His soul, and He shall be satisfied and say it's all worthwhile. So, you see, my brethren, I have time. Lord, help me to exalt You. Help me to glorify You by serving You and telling the truth. Whether people will listen to me, whether people will come and hear me or not, whether people avoid me or people crowd around me, makes no mind to me. Lord, I have time. Let me tell the truth. Let me tell the truth. For what reason? That You might be exalted, that someone might ask You to give the invocation somewhere at some public. No, sir. Tell the truth for the glory of God, whether men hear You or not. I have time, Lord. I have a heart to feel. Let that heart feel no love but Yours. To Him be glory both now, right now, and forevermore. I have a head to think. Oh Lord, help me to think only of Thee and for Thee in any religious sense. Oh my soul, You have put me in the world, Father. You put me here for something. I'm not sure what, but You put me here. I'm here. Lord, show me what it is, why You've put me here, and help me to work out my purpose in life for Your glory and for Your honor. Can we be like that poor widow? You know, she put her two mites into the treasury of the temple. And it indicated, or our Lord said that she put in all she had. He watched them there. They all came into the temple. Some put in a whole lot more than she did. That is, as far as dollars and cents goes, some rich people came in. They put their pounds in. She came in, put her pipe might sin. And our Lord said, well, she's given more than all the rest of them. Why? Because she gave all she had. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying, Lord, help me to cast my time and my eternity in Your treasury. Oh, that I might give all that I have. Oh, Lord, enable me in my feebleness, in my nothingness, that I might be useful and serve my generation for Your glory, for Your honor. Oh, my soul, what can I do? Many people ask me this from time to time. You know, I go away and preach a good bit. I'm going away here. I'll be gone for 10 days here pretty soon. Be gone to Kentucky, and then I'll go on from Kentucky into Louisiana and preach. And I'll talk to a lot of people. And invariably, when I go, someone always said, what do you think about this? What do you think I ought to do? What they want to know is, how can I serve the Lord? Well, what do you think I ought to do? There's a lot of things for us to do to serve the Lord. What can I do? I can love Him. Oh, if we drink of that water, that everlasting water, if we come to that spring and drink of that water, I'll tell you, it'll flow in us, and out of our bellies shall come rivers of living water, and it'll expand and it'll explode, and we'll serve the Lord with joy, and we'll not sit back on our haunches and stand on our hind feet and say, well, I've got it. The Lord has saved me. The Lord saved me by His grace. I'm waiting right now till I die. Nothing for me to do. I'm just going to sit right here. I'm just going to wait until I... Oh, what are you doing, brother? Just waiting till I die. Oh, you're not serving the Lord. Oh, I'm serving the Lord. I'm just waiting till I die. Just waiting till I die. That's all I'm doing. Just sitting down. There's things you can line up. There's some people that I know. There's some people that needs to put their life, But that's what a church is for. A church, people say, well, it doesn't make any difference whether you go to church, join the church, belong, it doesn't make any difference. I think it does. If that's the case, why do we have a church? Why do we have one? It doesn't make any difference. I bet you wouldn't tell your wife one woman the same as the other, would you? Would you tell your wife, well, I married you, well, you do have a pretty face, but no prettier than the other woman that I've seen. You wouldn't do that, would you? You sure wouldn't. You say, well, ain't no difference in the churches, though, are they? Ain't no difference? You haven't been listening. There's a difference. There's a difference. And men, men ought to put their, they ought to put their life where their mouth is. Put it there. Line up. Identify themselves. Serve the Lord. Unto Him be glory. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Ephesians chapter 3 and almost the last verse. Unto Him be glory. Unto Him be glory throughout all ages, world without end, in the church. You know what it says? You know what it says? Ephesians 3:21. That's what it said. Unto Him, unto the Lord, be glory in His church. There's a difference. Well, what should I do? Serve the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Conduct yourself as becometh a Christian. You know how to do that. Don't need me to instruct you there. You know what's right and what's wrong. Lord, help me to cast into Your treasury all that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be. Let me cast myself into Your treasury and enable me to be useful, to serve my generation for Your honor and for Your glory. Now, one more word and then we'll quit. Last word says amen. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What does that amen mean? Several different meanings. Four that I know of, but I'll just deal with one. And that's what the meaning that I'm going to give you, I think, is the meaning that it has right here. It means the desire of your heart. Amen means the desire of your heart. You know, we say amen at the end of our prayers. Why? To signify, Lord, let it be so. We say, we ask these things in the dear name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our stead, who was buried and who rose again, who's ever at the right hand of God. We ask these things in the mighty name of our Lord. Amen. We're saying, let it be so. Let it be so. We're saying, this is the desire of my heart. That's what we're saying. It's all a heart matter. To Him be glory, now and forever. Amen. Is that my heart's desire? Is that your heart's desire? It was Peter's heart's desire. He said, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let it be so. This is my heart's desire. Father, I want You, I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be honored and glorified. This is all I live for. That's what Peter said. It's all I live for. Everything else is just fades off into insignificance in light of this great object of my life. The object of my life is what? Is that God might be honored and exalted in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus. That should be, brethren. That should not be just a unusual object and desire reserved only for those who are public preachers. But that should be the object and desire of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that has been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The object of my life is that Jesus Christ might receive honor and glory. Now! I know He will forevermore. Now! To Him be glory now and forever. Amen! That's what Peter said. Is that your heart's desire? Is that my heart's desire? If you cannot say amen to it, you've got a problem. If you can't say amen to this, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Does your heart pant, thirst, moan, groan, cry out after Christ? Do you cry out in your heart, give me Christ, or else I die, I must have Him. Huh? So that you can say every time you bend your knee, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, watch it, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Is that what it said? Amen. Heart's desire. Can you say, Lord, let Thy kingdom come? Amen. Do you long to see Him magnified? Amen. That's what it means there. To Him be glory both now and forever. May it be so. Let it be so. Let it be so. May it come to pass. You don't pray, Lord, save my children. Save my children. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the amen means, well, I'm really not interested. No, are you interested? When you say amen, you're saying, Lord, it's my heart's desire that my prayer might be answered. That my petition might be heard and my prayer might be answered. It's my heart's desire. Let it be so. Amen. To Him, Peter says. He said, let us grow. Let us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And unto Him be glory right now and forevermore. Amen. Lord bless you.